Are there 64 children to sit up front? Well, I want to go ahead and get started because if things go as normal, I'm going to run right to the end and hopefully not over. But that's pretty common. There was a brother that spoke yesterday and I saw he went 2 to 3 minutes over. So I'm okay to do that too, I think. So before we pray, I want to ask a few questions because I'd like to get to know you children, and maybe when I get to know you, you'll kind of get to know me, and we'll kind of feel comfortable together. And I think you children are very brave, because when I was at your age, I would have been in the back row, maybe wanting to hide under the chair. I was very shy, and the Lord's helping me to overcome that. I'm still a little bit shy also. So, the first question I'd like to ask is, did your father or did your mother wake you up this morning? And I'm asking the children in the front row, whose father or mother woke them up this morning? Very good. Very good. And when they woke you up, who got up the first time they called you? Not the first time? Second time? Second time. You know, sometimes in Sunday school, and it's good, you know, there's a boy in the Bible that we have that the first time he was called, he got up. The second time he was called, he got up. The third time he was called, he got up. I think we know who that is. But who was that?
Samuel.
But you know, sometimes I see children come into Sunday school late, their parents, and I sometimes wonder, whose fault is it? Did the children get up when they were supposed to and get dressed? You know, it's good to get right up. Because we have some important things to talk about Sunday school, right? It's good to get our hair combed, maybe eat a little breakfast and brush our teeth, make sure our shoes are on the right feet, things like that. So there's time. It's good to get up and have plenty of time Sunday mornings. We're not rushed to run into Sunday school. It's important. Another question. Who likes to take naps? Wow. Good job. Not very many. But you know, if I asked everybody else in the room, you know what would happen? All their hands would go up. I love naps. I look forward to a nap every day. And if I can, I take a nap. And, you know, it was about a week ago on Saturday, I had a good breakfast, had puff pancakes, maple syrup and peanut butter and strawberries and blueberry topping and bacon, and I was tired. Kind of had a long week. We stayed up late some of the nights helping with some things, some friends' houses, and I was tired at 11 o'clock, and I went over on the couch, and I was about to sleep, and you know these things that you have in your pockets, I hope none of you have them, but they're called cell phones, and it vibrated when I was trying to go to sleep, and it's like, this happens all the time. And so I just went to sleep. But then as soon as I woke up, I thought, I better check and see what that was all about. And I woke right up. And there was also a voicemail. And guess who it was? It was Tim Newton back there. And guess what he asked me to do? Something I really like to do. He asked me to speak to the children. You know why I like to speak to the children? Because I was a child once. I know what it's like to be a child. And I used to have a Sunday school class. So it's kind of fun working with children. You know what's the hardest thing about speaking to children is? Some adults too. So they don't have a very long attention span. Pretty soon you're looking over here and you're looking at your friend's shoes and you're fiddling with the mic. And I was a child once too. And you know, I could tell you how many lights were in the meeting room. And I could tell you how many windows were in the meeting room. And I could even tell you how many tiles were in the ceiling. You know, it was like about 52 times 25. And I learned to do multiplication too, because it was pretty hard. They all kind of look the same, and as you're counting, you lose track. So that kind of forced me to do some multiplication too. And so I know what it's kind of like to have your attention. So who likes pizza? Do you like pizza? Not sure? I think everybody likes pizza. You don't like pizza? Wow, that's amazing. Okay, who likes salad? Not quite so many hands, but you like salad. That's good. Very good. You know, people always told me, you know, maybe when you grow up, you'll like salad. I'm kind of afraid when I'm going to grow up. I just don't know when I'm going to grow up. But it's good that you like salad. What else might we like? Who likes spaghetti? Yeah. My grandkids love spaghetti. That's a meal that you don't have to feed them. They just eat it right down. Who likes liver? I didn't think I'd have any hands. You had liver before? Does your dad like liver? Wow, your dad likes liver. That's amazing. You know, Saturdays we worked pretty hard, and we'd come into the house after working hard, and, you know, I grew up in a large family. There was 6 1/2 dozen in our family, and we had to work pretty hard to, you know, keep food on the table, and we'd come into the house, and the house was just fragrant with the smell of liver. And my heart would just sink. Oh, liver and onions. Sometimes even better than that. Who's had cow tongue? You had cow tongue? It just kind of slips right down. Yeah. Yeah. It's actually pretty good. You just don't think about it much. It's pretty good. But, you know, we didn't let much go to waste. And, you know, children, when you eat your food, sometimes I'm really sad to see children throw. There's people starving all over the world. And you don't finish your food and you throw it in the garbage. The Lord never did that. He picked up all the little bits of bread that were left. 12 baskets full. He didn't waste anything. Don't waste your food. So I grew up that we ate everything on our plate. And we ate about everything else, too. We were well fed. We were. Who likes schoolwork? That's a little better than liver. Good. There's a few. That's good. That's good. I won't say anything bad about that. That's good. Who likes Sunday school? Sunday school. Do you like Sunday school? We all like Sunday school, right? We do. That's very good. Why do we have Sunday school?
To learn about Jesus.
To learn about Jesus. Someone else can tell me why. That's a very good answer.
To learn about Jesus.
Is there anything else that we're to learn? Is there anything better we can learn?
Memorize verses.
Memorize verses. You know, there's a man. Just a second. There's a man. He's 53 years old, and he's never opened his Bible. I told him to start reading in John's Gospel. He's like, where's that? I was like, well, it's the New Testament. What's the New Testament? He's never opened a Bible, and he's 53 years old. Children, you've been able to learn verses. Your mommy and your dad want you to get the Word of God in your hearts.
Learn about the salvation of God.
Learn about the salvation of God. Through the Lord Jesus, right?
To sing songs about Him.
Who likes to sing? I like to sing. And you know what? There was going to be a surprise this morning, but they surprised me. And I was going to make sure we had little hymn books for you, because this is all about the children. We're kind of acting like the adults aren't here, and we're just having a nice time up front, okay? Then we're not so nervous.
To learn about how God and Jesus loved you.
But does God love us too? How do we know that God loves us? Because He sent His
Son.
Who was His Son? Who's God's Son?
God.
Who is His Son?
Jesus.
Yeah, the Lord Jesus. And what do you think the Lord Jesus would do if He were here?
Die on the cross of His sins.
That's what He did. When the Lord Jesus came here, He died on the cross for our sins.
Forgive us.
If He was here, He would want to forgive you of your sins. But you know, there's a verse I'm going to read in Mark chapter 10. And it's going to show you, we have Sunday school because we want you to know, like the children said, that Jesus loves you. We want you to know the Father's heart and how much He loves you. He loves you very much. And maybe somebody that has a Bible in the front row could read. Do you have that there? Mark chapter 10. Read verse 13 through verse 16.
And they brought young children to Him that He should touch them, and His disciples rebuked those that brought Him. But when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased and said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto Me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And He took them up in His arms, put His hands upon them, and blessed them.
So what did He do? He took the children up into His arms. It's as though He would sit down on the chair and He'd just put you on His lap. And you know, none of you, some of you, if I did that to you, would you be a little scared? A little uncomfortable? Do you think if the Lord Jesus did that to you, that you would be uncomfortable? No, you wouldn't be afraid of Him at all. But that's what He did with the children. He took them up into His arms and He blessed them. And so we want you to understand how much the Lord Jesus loves you. Okay. We're going to pray. Then we're going to sing a few songs. Very few. And if there's time at the end, we can sing some more. But I want whoever has a verse to say, I want you to be able to say a verse. We're here to hear you too. But we're going to pray. And do you think that when we pray, should we close our eyes? What do you think? Yes. Yes. Most people are nodding yes. Do you think we should always close our eyes when we pray? Even when I'm driving a car? No. So there's sometimes. That's a good. As a driver, maybe you shouldn't. That would be very good advice. It might be in the driver's ed book. So when I'm driving, I can pray. You know, there's some people I talk to and I don't know what to say. And I'll just ask the Lord, with my eyes open, I'll pray and say, "Lord, show me what I should tell them. What should I say? Nehemiah did that. Others did it in Scripture, right? But when we're sitting up here, why do we close our eyes? It would be good to close our eyes.
So we don't get distracted?
Exactly. What were you going to say? Someone over here.
I was going to say, so you don't get distracted.
I don't need to say anything. They told you, right?
To give respect.
Very good. To have respect. You know, I think they said it, right? And I think when you close your eyes, it's kind of like a little silent amen. Right? Okay. We're going to pray. And if we can remember to close our eyes, and we're not distracted, and we can hear what's being said. And it's like we're saying the same thing to the Lord Jesus, okay? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we give thee thanks for these dear children. We would just pray for help, that we could, in some measure, manifest thy love to these dear children. We pray that they would hear thy voice, Lord Jesus, and we pray for the salvation of each one. We give thee thanks, Lord Jesus, for thy great love. We thank thee in the Lord Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Song time. Somebody have a number.
Number 88.
Number 88, the donkey song. Everybody have a hymn book? There once a wild little donkey. Number 47. Into a tent where I
story. Bending, we caught the last words of
has heard about the love of the Lord Jesus more than once? How many times do you think this little boy heard the gospel that the Lord Jesus loved him? I think it was only one time. And why did he only hear it once? We don't know. But you know what was happening to this little boy? He was dying. Are we ready to die? I told a man yesterday, or a few days ago, I said, I don't fear death. I'm not afraid to die because I know where I'm going. I'm going to go to be with the Lord Jesus. Are you ready to die? He said, I'm hopefully going. I said, no, you need to know. You know, growing up, we used to sit under Uncle Oscar Frazee. He was our Sunday school teacher in the Sunday school. And he would always say, there's two reasons why we need to accept the Lord Jesus when we're young. One is, we might die. Another one is that the Lord might come. And there's another one. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your... What's the rest of that verse? Hearts. Oh, we don't want you to get a hard heart. We're going to sing one more. What number? Number 49. Number 49. See if you know this one by heart. Jesus gave her water.
You take him, Jesus.
That song was about a lady who heard about the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus spoke to her, and she went and she told others about the Lord. Have we told anybody about the Lord Jesus? We've been given life. If you know the Lord Jesus is your Savior, shouldn't we be telling others? Shouldn't we have a love for lost souls? Yeah. That's why we're telling you this morning. We want to make sure each one of you, you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. That you realize that you're a sinner. Yes, you've sinned, but you need to realize that you are a sinner. And that the Lord Jesus came to save you. And there was a great price paid. And that price was He died for you. Okay. We are going to start down here. Who would like to say their verse? And maybe so that everyone else can follow along. It's nice when kids, you say your verse, if everybody else opens up their Bible and follows along. Can you tell me the reference of your the verse you're going to say?
If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Good job. You know what? When she started to say the verse, that's part of the reason why somebody said that we know the Bible. She started to say the verse, and there was an older brother, and he just started turning right to it. He didn't even have to know what the reference was. Isn't that nice? That's very nice. Thank you. You did a good job. Who else would like to say your verse?
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but everlasting life. John 3:16.
Very good. Thank you.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Good job. Thank you.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Good job. You want to try? You can do it.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Good job. That was excellent. Anyone else?
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Very good. Excellent.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things are new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Good job. Any man?
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Good job. If any man?
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Very nice. Good job. Anyone else?
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Thanks.
God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. John 3:16.
Thank you. Good job.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Thanks. Anyone over here?
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Thank you very much.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Thank you. You want to try? Yes. If any man?
If any man be in Christ,
he is?
Is.
A new creature.
He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things come new. Second Corinthians 5:17.
Good job. Very brave.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Thank you. Good job.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Thank you very much. Very good.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Thank you very much. Want to try?
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Good job.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Old things are
passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Very good.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
I'm wondering if the one that's translating is translating all of these verses as we go down the row. I hope he is, because that will help. Some of you remember what this verse, memorize it better.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Very good. Nice. Anyone else?
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Wow.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Thank you very much. Do you want to try?
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow and death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalms 23.
That amazing? She learned a whole chapter. Have you ever done that? It's very good.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Very good.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Thank you, Jackson. Okay. You want to try?
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Good job.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Thank you very much. Children, you did a very, very good job. I wasn't planning on speaking about this verse, and our time is running out. I was going to say something, but I don't know if I should, except it says you're new creatures or a new creation. So if you want to know what that new creation is, listen again to the meeting Bruce had yesterday, and you'll know what that new creation is. Think you can do that? If we remember what he spoke about, we'll know what that new creation is. But there was a man, I don't know if I, anyways, he just got saved. And, you know, he was kind of a hard man, and he was in business. He wanted to make a lot of money, and he was kind of, his language wasn't always very good, and he got saved. He was 51 years old, and he got saved. And then he comes over to my house, and he wants to visit. And I call him Brother Terry. Before, we weren't friends, really. We dealt with each other in business, but he got saved. And he came, and he's a whole new man. He's like, Tim, I lost all my friends. He made new friends. He's like, I don't know why I need all these guns and ammunition anymore. Says, we're not to kill people, we're to save. People are to get saved. We want people to get saved. And he's like, Tim, I thought I was really living the life. But he's like, Tim, I really have life now. And he wants to please the Lord Jesus. He's a part of that new creation. He's a whole new man. The Lord gave him new life. New life. Okay. Now, can anyone guess? There's something that I really like. I really enjoy. It's under here. It's something the Lord created. But it's something that women really like. I'm a little strange because I like it too, but I really like.
Flowers?
Flowers.
Flowers. Flowers. I like flowers. And you know, at home, some people get my age and a little older, they feel like they need another house. You know, the kids start moving out and they kind of get itchy and they want another house. And my son was moving out and I kind of felt like I could use another house. And so I raised my family in a little brown house. We have a little brown house. And I decided I was going to build another house. And this house was going to be a greenhouse, not a brown house, but a greenhouse. It's on the same property, just a little ways away. And this house is kind of like an orphanage. Can someone tell me what an orphanage is?
Something that takes care of children who don't have parents.
Did we hear that? I think so. So, in this house, there are 26,442 babies. Can you imagine? All in one house? Over 26,000 babies? Have you ever seen that? No. And they came, my four daughters, they took them and they put them into a 4-inch little bed, little pot. And then my daughter, Johanna, she's kind of like a nurse. And she goes around and she makes sure they get enough water. She makes sure they're not too hot and they're not too cold. And she makes sure that they're all healthy. And if they're not healthy, she tells Andrew, he's kind of like a doctor, and he comes and he gives them medicine. And in about 2 months, I'm going to put them up for adoption. And they're going to go live at someone else's house. And that's where they're going to live the rest of their life, is at someone else's house. And so, what I have here, we have to be kind of fast. I'm going to put these up for adoption, okay? We kind of learned about adoption, didn't we, yesterday? A little bit? This is a little different. This is how they come into maybe your family. Adoption is kind of what happens within the family. So I would like, if you would like to adopt a flower, I'd like you to come up here and take one. Everyone, there's enough for all of you to take a flower. Take whichever one you would like. Oops, sorry. And when you're all done, I have bags that we can put them in. And so you can take them safely to your home. Be very careful. They're babies. Act like they're your little brother or your little sister, okay? Just take one. They're all pretty. And then go sit down again, because we're running out of time. But I have about 9 minutes. So I'm going to read a verse. So hold them very carefully. Remember, they're babies. I am going to read a verse. I don't have time to do quite what I wanted to do. I wanted to go around and find out all of your names. I don't know your names, but I could tell you all the names of these flowers. I left some tags in them because some of them are red. There might be 7 different petunias, but some are pink, some are red, some are striped. Some grow fat, some grow tall. They're all different sizes. And so I put the names on it. I was going to go through and tell you all the names, but you can read them. Some of them don't have names. There was one in here that had a question mark. Did anyone get the question mark? Oh, right here. Is there anyone here that doesn't have a name? Do you all have names? Okay. Well, we don't know what this one is for sure. Okay, Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, and I'm just going to read it, okay? And I want you children to listen, because we only have a few more minutes, okay? Isaiah 43, we heard yesterday this is the fifth gospel, right? Isaiah is like the fifth gospel, that's what I heard. Verse 1, "But now saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Who knows your name?
Liam.
That's your name, but who knows it? I don't know. Who else knows it?
God.
What were you going to say?
Azrael.
Azrael, very nice name. I wanted to hear all your names, but we're out of time. So, the Lord Jesus knows your name. Children, have you heard the Lord Jesus? Have you heard the Lord Jesus call your name? He says, "I have called thee by thy name." Can you say, as he says here, "Thou art mine"? Are you the Lord Jesus? Are you saved? Can he say, "I have redeemed thee"? He died that he might save you, that he might redeem you. Are you saved? And you know, children, when does the Lord Jesus often call children? What time of day does the Lord Jesus often call children? Is it when you're playing ball, playing with your dolls, or eating a meal? When does the Lord Jesus often speak to children?
In Sunday school.
Sunday school, very nice. Where else? Just think about it, children. Because all 4 of my children had it at this time.
In the Bible.
In the Bible, that's very good. He speaks to us through the Word of God. But where do we hear a little voice sometimes that's calling us?
In our bedroom.
You got it. It's when we're trying to go to sleep. Who was called when they were laid down to sleep and they heard somebody call them? And he called their name twice.
Samuel.
Have you heard the Lord Jesus call you? He is. And he knows your name. And we want to make sure, we read yesterday in, I think, Luke chapter 10, that the Lord, that your name is written in heaven. Once you come to the Lord Jesus and believe on him, your name is written in heaven. And also we want your name to be written in the book of life. You know, there was one time growing up, we had a large garden. We needed a lot of food. And we had a garden on one side of the driveway, and then we had a garden on the other side of the driveway, and then we had a garden in the orchard. And so, you know, as soon as we could walk, we learned how to use a hoe. Because you have to weed, keep the weeds out of the garden, right? And one time I was out there with my brother, Rodney. And I asked Rodney, I could hear somebody was calling me. And it was the Lord Jesus. And I asked my brother, how can I get saved? I want to be saved. You know what he told me? He's like, you just go over there to that pear tree. How big is a pear tree? Does anyone know about how big a trunk is on a pear tree? It's not very big. It's probably about that big around. He said, just go behind that pear tree and ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart, that you're a sinner and that you want him to save you. And you know what I did? I was about your age. I was 5, 6, 7 years old. I went over to that pear tree. I got down on my knees. That pear tree is still there. I got down on my knees and the Lord Jesus saved me. There's coming a day, it says in Luke chapter 13, maybe, that there's a door, you might say, into heaven. The Lord Jesus is the door. That door is going to be shut. And it's going to be shut forever. We don't know when that's going to be shut. And the Lord Jesus, there's going to be those knocking on the door of wanting in. And you know what the Lord Jesus is going to say? I never knew you. That'd be a terrible thing. If the Lord Jesus were to say to you, I never knew you. Does he know you? Have you come to him? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Don't wait, dear children. So when you look at this flower, it's going to grow. It's going to start to bloom. And so are you. But are you going to shine for the Lord Jesus? Are you going to live for the Lord Jesus? You want to do it now. I'm dealing with some men that are in their 50s. They're not saved. They have to come as a child. Just like you. So we're going to pray. Lord Jesus, we look to thee for these dear children. We thank thee for thy faithfulness that thou dost call us by our name. We just pray that their hearts would be open to thy call and that they would receive thee as the Savior of sinners. We thank thee for this little time, Lord Jesus. Thank thee for thy faithfulness. Cast yourselves upon thee and give thee thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. So I have brown bags here. Slip them into that bag and then they'll be safe. Okay? You want to, it's kind of like a car seat. You want to help me pass them out?